Hello, Symphony, and welcome to our morning devotional. Today's passage is Ephesians 5, 1-14. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity of covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Amen. If you've ever visited our Sunday service at Paradise Rock Club before, this experience may be very relatable to you. The location in which we worship in has black walls and black floors and a black stage. There are lights in there, so it's not pitch black. You can definitely see other people, and your eyes adjust as you walk in. But after almost 2 hours in that building, when you walk outside, I guarantee you that you will have a momentary blinding by the light outside, especially if it's a sunny day. I feel like it always takes me about 30 seconds or so to adjust to being outside again, but that initial shock of walking outside somehow always just shocks me, even though I have the experience nearly every week. In today's passage, Paul exhorts us to walk in love and to walk in the light, as we are children of light. And we are able to do this by imitating God, verse 1, discerning what is pleasing to the Lord, verse 10, and taking no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead exposing them, verse 11. I think Paul is going beyond the encouragement of having us be more like God. He is warning and challenging us to expose all the darkness of our hearts. This is not an easy passage because what he is asking of us is beyond just behavior modification or abstractly being more like Christ. He is saying, expose the darkness, come out and walk in the light. He specifically points out sexual sins, impurity, covetousness, even crude joking of the sort, and says that those who do such things have no place in the kingdom of Christ and of God. I thought for a bit, why is Paul pointing out these sexual sins to begin with? Why not other things like murder or lying? I mean, those things seem pretty dark to me after all. Now, while I don't think Paul would disagree with me there, I think he's trying to point out the nature of lust. All that lust stands for is the opposite of love. Lust is rooted in selfish desires and the desires of our flesh. Love is the opposite. It is the essence of selflessness and generosity towards others. Now, you may interrupt me and think, okay, but it's not all that bad, is it? Well, let's see what Paul says. Paul warns us to not be deceived with empty words from the sons of disobedience. He warns us to not partner with them. What are some empty words that may be edging you on to tolerate sin? I want to present 3 common thoughts that convince us to keep walking in the darkness, and we'll briefly combat it with reasons why we should expose them and walk in the light instead. Number 1. Is masturbation really that bad? It's not like I'm sleeping with somebody else. Scientists say it's even good for your health. Science may say that it is good for your health, but so are a lot of other things like going to the gym or drinking matcha or taking supplements. While they can be beneficial, they are not essential to our health. And some things are more detrimental to the soul than it is for our body. Masturbation often involves fantasizing, and that can easily lead to lustful thoughts towards others. It is about self-pleasure, and that is something that Scripture makes clear is not of God. Remember when Jesus even says that looking at another person with lustful eyes is committing adultery. That is because our heart's desires are rooted in the desires of the self. Number 2, Sex before marriage is fine. I'm not being selfish because I genuinely love my partner and want to please him or her. Now, while I do not question your love for your partner, sex outside of marriage causes soul ties and unhealthy dependency on each other. Sex within marriage is a beautiful and sacred thing that God designed himself. It is a reflection of covenantal love that God had with his people. It is meant to be enjoyed, but outside of marriage, it can cause deep chasms and emotional pains. Number 3. What's so wrong with pornography? I'm not hurting anyone with it. There are studies done with exposure to pornography of how it destroys the brain and shapes it in a way that prevents it from forming healthy intimacy and outlooks on sexuality. It is extremely harmful to your own self. On the other hand, it is harmful for others too. The multi-billion dollar porn industry is built on sexual abuse and exploitation of both men and women, and horrifically, minors as well. Even consensual sex workers have reported severe cases of abuse, rape, and trafficking. Next year at Symphony, we will be hearing from a ministry that ministers to women who are in the sex industry and those that have overcome it. There is hope in this dark place. Now, these are pretty heavy topics, but they are real. And that is why Paul calls those justifications as empty words. If you struggle with any of this, I want to encourage you that you are not alone. Sexual sin is incredibly common, even in the church, and is prevalent amongst both men and women. But the best thing to do is to walk in the light. Confess your sins to one another, confess and surrender to God. Ask for accountability, seek prayer from your community. Anne Marie, a speaker that I once heard, shared her testimony of how she felt like God was telling her to go up to this one random girl and share how she struggled with masturbation. They were both at a conference together, and she thought, "What the heck, God, are you crazy?" But she did it anyway. The girl stared at her strangely and walked away, and Anne felt so embarrassed. But later on in the conference, the same girl came back to her, but this time in tears, confessing that she too struggled with the same thing. She felt alone and ashamed, and the fact that Anne opened the door to share, it gave her the courage to share as well. Anne calls this the gift of going second. Anne walked in the light and gave that girl the gift of going second. It becomes less scary to walk in the light when you know others are walking there with you too. Here at Symphony, we offer both women and men's freedom groups, which are confidential groups to support one another in overcoming sexual sin. If you're interested, please reach out to a staff member or pastor at any time. One quick note here. Perhaps you are a survivor of sexual assault or harassment. It is by no means a light thing. But as a survivor myself, I want to encourage you that walking in the light really is the best thing you can do. Jesus provides a safe space to process, to grieve, to lament, and to receive his comfort, peace, and healing. And perhaps for some of you listeners today, this is not an area that you necessarily struggle with, but you likely know others that do. So if somebody does share their heart with you, let's aim to receive them just as Christ would. Sometimes walking in the light will feel uncomfortable, like the first few moments of stepping outside from the Paradise Rock Club or a dark room. But once you are in the light, you will experience the fullness of Christ's freedom and victory that he bought for you. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are light. There is no darkness that can hide from you. While our eyes may have adjusted to the darkness, we don't want to become complacent or tolerate it. We invite you into our hearts to illuminate any area that needs to be lit up. Help us to walk in the light, both in our community at church and also in our honest walk with you. We thank you that there is no shame or condemnation in your name, but rather forgiveness, peace, and freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.